Grace to you and peace in the name of the babe of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Amen. We just finished up the season of Advent and Christmas. Tomorrow for many churches is Epiphany Sunday. Advent is that season of the church year that is right before Christmas. It's that time we use to prepare and to anticipate the birth of the Christ child. Advent and the anticipation of Jesus' first arrival on this earth is tied almost always to his second coming, when he will return with power and with might. And those two events are rarely separated when we explore them in the church. So as we're gathered here in this church, just after Christmas, we have these two things to think about. First is the fact that Jesus was born. We just celebrated that wonderful event. It's a wonderful event because when Jesus came down, he came down to live like one of us. You see, without that single event, there would be for us no hope, there'd be no joy, there'd be no peace, there'd be no grace, there'd be no mercy for any of us. Without the birth of Jesus, we would be living in nothing but despair and depression and sorrow. But he came as the Prince of Peace to give peace to his people on earth. And that's the real miracle of Christmas and the real reason for the season, the birth of that holy child who brought salvation to all of us. He did that by taking every bad thing that we could have or ever did do, and he took it on himself. And he never once held anything against us. When people ridiculed him, when the Roman soldiers mocked and beat him, when even the criminals next to him on the crosses were cursing him, what does he say? Father, forgive them. But what happened to all those folks? What happened to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Roman soldiers, the people who were mocking him? Well, you know, the Bible actually tells us that many of those folks changed the way they think, the way they thought, the way they think, the way they act, and they became believers, just like you and me. The criminal on the cross next to him, before he died, said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say to him? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. The Roman soldier in charge of watching him being tortured to death said, surely this was the Son of God. Scripture even records that even the Sadducees and the Pharisees, those his greatest enemies, many of those came to faith in time. Here you have people who spit on Jesus, who lied about him, who beat him and tortured him, spent years trying to destroy him. And for those whose hearts were changed, for those who believed, what happened when it was their turn to stand before the throne of God and give an answer? For those who repented and believed in Jesus, they heard the same words that Bob heard. Welcome home. You see, that brings us to the second thing we need to look at. The first was Jesus' birth, along with his death and resurrection. But the second is that day when each of us must stand before his throne and give an answer. Jesus came to earth because he was desperate to love us, and he desperately wanted to save everyone. He never hurt us, but we hurt him. The human race hurt him, even hated him, even executed him, and he did nothing to deserve any of it. That is what we all do to Jesus. We push him away. We hurt the one who came to love us. We cause God frustration, exasperation, and disappointment because we just don't live the way we really should. We often fill our hearts with poison and with sin, and yet for everyone, the day of your own personal judgment will come. How will he judge you? What's the standard? What's the bar that we have to reach so that we can be declared acceptable to God, loved by God, and welcomed home by God? How good do you have to be? Jesus actually said, if you miss one comma, if you miss a comma in the law, you are guilty of breaking all of it. So how do you make it right again with God? Who can measure up to that standard? Well, the answer is you can't. You won't. You don't do anything to fix all that you have messed up between you and God. He has the right to throw you away. He has the right to never think on you again. We've all done things that fail to show our love for God. And in spite of all of that, he still calls us his children. He still calls himself our heavenly Father. And he sent his Son to die for us. He loves us so much. And yet we still don't always act the way we should. We still push that loving heavenly Father away. We still push Jesus away. We still tax the Holy Spirit. God would be well within his rights to give up on us, but he won't and he doesn't. He forgives. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, your Father in heaven won't forgive you. In fact, we pray that very thing in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? You know the words. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What is forgiveness really about? There's a really long list of things it is and it isn't. There's actually a Bible study going on here in our church right now that is going through a study on that. But in short, forgiveness can probably be reduced to three things. It's keeping no record of past wrongs. Scripture describes heaven as having books that are written, and what's written in them is all that you've done. They will be opened and read before you. How many would look forward to that event? I mean, you know you better than I do. You know there's some things there you wouldn't want read out loud. But for those who believe in Jesus, the blood of Jesus covers those sins. And all that remains is what you have done that is pleasing to God. God keeps no record of wrongs. Forgiveness is not choosing to punish the wrongs that were done. We all deserve eternal punishment for the things that we've done. You know you. Not one of us here can really stand before God and say, look how perfect I am. We deserve what we've got coming, but God chooses not to give it. He chooses not to punish us for the wrongs we've done. Forgiveness, then, is freedom from bitterness. Just imagine the heart of God, what it would be like if he were to dwell on all the sins of all the world by all of humankind. Think about all the mess in this world. If God chose to dwell on all of that, what would his heart be like? What would your heart be like? It'd be filled with poison and bitterness. But God in his heart is filled with love for us. It's filled with love because God chooses to forgive us. When all of the mess of the world is finally brought to the cross on Jesus' shoulders, when everything we had done is finally nailed to those posts, he said, forgive them. You see, even there, he would not allow our mess to tarnish his heart. For those who believe on Jesus, for those who rely on him to fix what we have broken, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, forgiveness is freely given. That is the real miracle of what Christmas is all about. After all that we had done and still do, Jesus came to us as an innocent baby, a baby who would grow up and save the world. So when you look in that manger, you see far more than a sweet baby's face. You see the face of God. And in that face, you find care and love and concern and forgiveness in his eyes. That's the real reason for the season. That is the true miracle of Christmas. As I said in the beginning of our service, Bob Schultz was a Christian. He believed in Jesus. He believed Jesus came to save him and forgive him. Maybe, I don't know if everybody knows, he passed away on Christmas Eve evening. That had to be a tough time for you folks, the family. You should have been sitting around a Christmas tree. Instead, you're sitting around a bed. Instead of waiting in excitement for gifts, you're waiting for Bob to breathe his last. But in the true Christmas form. More importantly, you were waiting for Jesus. And so was Bob, waiting for Jesus to carry him safely home. The wonder is, Bob left us on Christmas Eve, but celebrated Christmas at home. As that event was remembered in heaven, Bob got to see it firsthand. The angels came at Jesus' birth to proclaim it to the shepherds. Bob got to hear that chorus again. That's the wonder of it. God knows life on this earth can be hard. It's for that reason he took salvation out of our hands and took care of it for himself. For those who call on his name and believe in him, salvation is freely given. That same forgiveness that is seen in that face that you will see when you stand before that throne and you hear in faith those same words, "Welcome home." No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter where we've come from, if we call on Jesus, if we believe in him, salvation is ours. That is what we cling to, always in Jesus' name. Amen.